The Empire, Language and Power. The idea of the Empire was rooted in the Renaissance, when the foundations of modern Europe were laid. If we look at the ideology underpinning the Empire, we can see that firstly, it referred to the idea that Christianity was the only true religion, that secondly, it was made possible by scientific and technological development, and that thirdly, it was based on the presumed superiority of Western culture and society. But looking at the map, which shows the extension of the empire, we can see that another decisive factor in the establishment of the empire was naval power. The connection between naval power, having a large fleet of good ships, and domination of the globe is made visible in the portrait of Elizabeth I. The globe itself refers to another crucial element of colonial power, which is mapping. Here, the representation of the Earth's space is crude and inaccurate. So too is the map of the Americas. Indeed, the mapping of the globe would be inseparable from the gradual discovery by Westerners of all the Earth's unmapped territories, and it would be a political map, placing Europe as the controlling center of the world. Thus, the British Empire, here, might be said to be something of a dream of conquest that hasn't yet taken form. The important point to stress here is that mapping is always done for the benefit of the colonizers and presumes that the territory in question is a blank space, a terra incognita, where it is mapped. We can see this in Corran's Heart of Darkness, when he says that when he was a boy, there were many blank spaces on the earth. Yet, we can see how, for example, the Americas, before they were discovered, were not at all a blank space, but home to many different cultures and civilizations, which were then displaced and wiped out. English literature is full of tales which enact such a displacement. In The Tempest, the exiled Prospero displaces Caliban's mother, Sycorax, as ruler of the island, and makes Caliban his slave through a combination of the power of his heart and language. Remarkable for the time is surely the way Caliban uses the language he is taught by Prospero as an instrument of resistance, anticipating the much later appropriation of English and the English canon by post-colonial writers. We also have a sense that Caliban has a knowledge of the island and its qualities, yet the fact that Shakespeare makes Caliban, despite his protests, acknowledge the superior power of Prospero's art is surely indicative of a general belief that, in Shakespeare's time, the arts and sciences of the West were superior to those of any other culture. A similar situation occurs in Defoe's Robinson Crusoe, only here there is no magic involved. Crusoe masters the island thanks to his resourcefulness and hard work. Indeed, it turns the island into a microcosm of the bourgeois property-owning society he comes from. It's interesting, however, to note that here, the native instantly submits to Crusoe, almost wishing to become his slave. Unlike in The Tempest, here there is no conflict, no power struggle. Crusoe's superiority and right to rule is instantly acknowledged. Freud is thus, in a way, the projective fantasy of the ideal colonial subject. In a way, Friday is much a tabula rasa as the blank spaces on the map. Crusoe teaches him the rudiments of language as he would a child. Interesting, too, is the way Defoe, in his description of Friday, tries to emphasize the aspects of him that are closest to European physiognomy. Compare this with Coutts's tongueless Friday, who refuses to learn to express himself, whose silence is a form of resistance to being known. Essential to both these enterprises, as we have seen, is the teaching of language. In both cases, language is used as a means of government, of control. It's both a way to give orders and instructions. Through language, the violence of colonial power is sublimated in a more civilized form of coercion. In this sense, we can see that the ideology of empire is inseparable from a didactic civilizing impulse, and yet maintains a necessary supplement of pure racism.